Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. If you'd go ahead and put this up, Jay, 2 Peter 1, verses 1 through 4. I'll give you a second to turn to that. I know, I still want people to have it in their Bible, though, even if it is up on the screen. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 1 says, Simon Peter, a servant of an apostle. Did I say that right? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. So he's talking to those who have like precious faith. So if you've accepted Christ, according to Romans chapter 12, verse 3, you have received the measure of faith. It may be a measure of faith, depends on the version. It's hard for me to decide in the Greek whether that's the or a. That's a very difficult word. You have to be a Greek scholar, which I am not. I know how to read a Greek dictionary, which is how I learn most of what I learn. But anyhow, we have the faith of God on the inside of us if you're a born-again child. And that's who he's writing to. And it says this in the second verse, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of. So the point I've been emphasizing for the last 2 weeks is that grace, which is all of the power of God moving in your behalf, it's what you want, whether you realize it or not, what you want is the grace of God operating in your life to a greater degree. You'll never tire of the grace of God. You'll never say, I have enough. Well, actually, there was a time, and I've told you about that, where my joy level was so great that I actually asked God to turn it down a little bit. So you, and by the way, I've heard of other ministers. After I was doing that, I actually read some books like by Dr. Cho. He did the same thing. He said he had to ask the Lord to turn it down. I was like, yeah, there, see, someone else did it too. It's not so crazy. He said literally he felt like he couldn't contain it. So anyhow, but still, you want the grace of God. You'll never have enough of it in all, because it covers all area of life. Your marriage, the raising of your children, your job, your emotional well-being. When the grace of God is flowing in a great level of your life, you are so far removed from depression, it has no chance in your life. You'll be so removed from so many of the things that ail us in life. The grace of God blows it out. You just fly in a supernatural level. God says he wants to cause us to ride on the high places of the earth. It's the grace of God that takes you there. It's the only thing that gets you there. Good works won't get you there. It's the grace of God that gets you there. So all that just to say, you want this, the grace. And how do you get it? By knowledge. I also expounded on that to say, this is not talking about sense knowledge. This is not knowledge that comes through the five physical senses. Touch, smell, hear, see, and what? Taste. Thank you. I can never remember which order to... What. There's like a... People have a quick way of saying that, right? The same order every time. I have to learn that one so I don't leave one of them out. But you know what I'm saying. That's not what this knowledge is talking about. This is talking about revelation knowledge. And revelation knowledge only comes from heaven. So it comes in the form of the Holy Spirit witnessing to you, speaking to your heart. He gives you revelation knowledge. Or you get it through the Word of God. Both of those are complete sources of revelation knowledge. This book is a book of revelation knowledge. It's filled with revelation knowledge. The Holy Spirit who dwells in us gives us revelation knowledge. When he speaks to your heart, he gives you insight, knowledge that you get nowhere else. So, and that's also made clear in verse 4, if you'll notice, in case if you think in any way I'm reading into that, that, well, it doesn't say right there that it's the Word of God, that's the kind of knowledge it's talking about, that it's from the Word. Well, actually, it does. It says it in verse 4, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises that through these we partake of the divine nature of God. Or, in other words, we partake of the life of God, the Zoe life. It's through the great and precious promises. He's talking about the Word of God. It's through these we partake of the life of God. Okay? So we get from this a couple things. Primarily what I want to point out today, going into the deeper part, is that it's revelation knowledge that comes from the Word of God that brings grace into our life. Now go with me to Romans chapter 12. And here's where we're going to go a little deeper. It's the same subject. It's just more scriptures that will really explain some things to us concerning this transformation process. How are we transformed? We know that we have to have, yeah, don't worry about it. My coat's whistling at you. It thinks you're handsome. All right. You're getting it from both sides. Romans chapter 12, and let's read verses 1 and 2. I really wish I had a lot more time right now. I have so much I want to share with you from these two verses. But I'll get back on it two Sundays from now, so we'll get it all. I beseech you, therefore, listen to the language already. I beseech you. That means what?
It's like saying,
yes, exactly. It's just like Paul saying, I want you to go to seminar. I beseech you. Go to the seminar. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Again, he's only talking to those who are born again. Brethren, I beseech you by the mercies of God. Listen to the language. It's strong. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy. Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So much to build on here. This is beautiful. First of all, I beseech you. It's very serious. I beseech you by the mercies of God. It just got a lot more serious. Now, what's he mean by the mercies of God? He's saying, if you read in the previous chapter, that it's that we have been so blessed by God because all that we have, not only do we not deserve it, we weren't even looking for it. We weren't even seeking God. And God, by his mercies, moved in our behalf and revealed himself to us. Because the Jewish people resisted and rejected him, he turned to the Gentiles by his mercies and just poured out his goodness on us. We see that. Where is that? Verse 30, chapter 11, verse 30, it says, for as you were once disobedient to God, yet have now obtained mercy through their disobedience. And then Paul says, so what he's really saying is the goodness of God. He says, therefore, I beseech you by the very goodness that he's already showered on you, present yourself to him a living sacrifice. Now, what's a living sacrifice? A sacrifice is dead.
Exactly.
So he's using the Old Testament sacrifices as the analogy. And let me tell you, when that lamb's throat was slit and he was put up on the altar, how many of you know he gave all of himself, not part? How many of you know he was all in? That lamb was all in. That ram was all in. That turtle dove was all in. And he's saying, just like that, this is how I'm asking you to give yourself to God, where you're all in. But why a living sacrifice? Because we're alive. He's not suggesting we kill ourselves. And the problem with a living sacrifice is that it can get up off the throne and off the altar and walk away.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And we do. And so we need to daily, some of us hourly, present ourselves to God a living sacrifice, right? We do need to do this. We need to constantly go back to the Father. Daily lay ourselves before the Father. When I go before the Father in the morning, I just say, Father, I am yours. I have this song I love to sing to him. And the Father thinks I have a great voice. So And he thinks all of your voices are beautiful. How many of you know when your baby says, habba, 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 don't you just, isn't that gorgeous?
Amen.
If someone told you your baby can't talk, you're going to slap him. What are you talking about? That's perfect. That's beautiful. And that's how the Father is with us when we say, oh, Lord. He's like, isn't that beautiful, Jesus? Just beautiful. So we need to present ourselves to the Father daily. Lord, I am here. I am yours, Father God. I am yours. That's the song I sing to him. It's gorgeous. I know the guy that wrote it out in California. It's a good song. One day, maybe I'll actually even sing it in this church. Aaron's laughing. That's not a good sign. No, I'm teasing. Okay. Okay, so present yourselves a living sacrifice. It's a living sacrifice, so we have to go back because we tend to want to crawl off. Our flesh says, I want my way. And we have to go, no. Paul says, I present myself. He says, daily, I crucify my body daily. Paul, a man totally sold out to the Lord, but he said, daily, I have to do this. And so do you and so do I. Jesus did it daily. Come on, you know we need to. So we present ourselves to God a living sacrifice. Now look at this, holy, acceptable to God. What's that mean? Doesn't that kind of, when you read that, makes you think, well, wait a minute, I got to get holy first. He says, present yourself holy. Peter, I would like for you to present yourself to me a black man. Did I just shock you? I would like you to present yourself to me a woman. Are you having troubles?
Yeah.
I would like you to present yourself to me a Latino man. Is there a problem with that? It's impossible. How can he present himself to me a black man? How can he present himself to me a Mexican? A Chinese man? A woman? It's impossible because he's none of these things. And yet it says, present yourself holy, acceptable unto God. Well, do you think he's saying, go do something to make yourself holy? What could you possibly do to make yourself holy? There's no 99% holy. Holy is holy. If I said to Peter, Peter, present yourself to me holy, that means he can. Otherwise, it's an undoable command, and yet it's a command. Present yourself holy. Do you know the beauty of that? It's just one more powerful reminder that you are holy and acceptable. Do you realize that could not be there if it was not the fact that you are, because you can't present yourself what you're not.
Wow.
That's exactly right. That's good. Man, you should come up here. You cannot present to God an unholy sacrifice. Ooh, that's good. So you have to present him a holy sacrifice. If you're, in case you're forgetting, let me just give you one scripture. There's, you know, about 150 of these. But one, Ephesians chapter 1. And well, I guess maybe starting in verse 4. Verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So that was God's desire. He predestined us so that that would happen. And it says, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, I know it's a lot of language, just hang in there, by which he has, it's by his grace by which, by his grace, he has made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So, now here's another simple way to see it. How about the first verse? Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus. He's referring to all of them as saints. That word saints is hagios in the Greek. Here's what it means. Are you ready for this?
Yep.
He's writing to the saints at Agathos. That's the name of this church, in case you didn't know that. To the saints at Agathos. The word is hagios, H-A-G-I-O-S. And it means this. I'm trying to remember what it means. Morally blameless.
Wow.
Ceremonially pure.
Wow.
Holy. Most holy. That's what it says in the Strong's Concordance on that word. Morally blameless. Ceremonially pure. There's another one about physical. Physically something. And then holy, most holy. To the holy ones at Ephesus. To the holy ones in Agathos. And it says here throughout the first chapter, you'll see it over and over, that we are holy and blameless and acceptable before God. So back to Romans 12. Present yourselves a living sacrifice to God, holy, acceptable, which is your reasonable service. That word reasonable is the word logios. Does that sound like anything? Huh? Logic, exactly. Logical. He says, it's your logical service. I mean, you're talking about the God, the creator of the universe, who gave his all for you. It's only logical that you would reciprocate with worship. Well, yeah. Man, verse 2 has a major boom out of the park. Beautiful, powerful message to it. So, we'll get into that in 2 weeks. In the meantime, present yourself to the Lord, holy, acceptable. You are hagios. You are saints. You've been made holy by the blood of Jesus. It's not by anything you and I did. But the fact remains, Jesus' work is perfect. He didn't leave it half undone. You know, when Adam was in the Garden of Eden, how many of you know before he sinned, he was holy and he was acceptable to God. He fell. Jesus, called the second Adam in the New Testament, came to redeem us. Think about that. The Son of God, God himself, came to redeem us. Do you think God was incapable of fully redeeming what a man, Adam, did? Do you think he, you know, did it halfway, three quarters of the way? God came to redeem us. How many of you know he was successful?
Amen.
Therefore, he restored us to a state of holy and acceptable unto him. Praise God. Glory. It's not based on what you look like when you look in the mirror. It's not based on what you feel like in your emotional makeup. It's based on what he did and what he has to say about it. Period. He did the work, not you, not me. And he says what that work accomplished. Not you and not me. We don't say what it accomplished. He says what it accomplished. And he says, it made you holy before me, blameless, morally blameless, ceremonially consecrated, physically pure, holy, and acceptable before me. Now come and present yourself holy and acceptable unto me. Wow. Amen? Amen. It is ultimate love. That's exactly right. Praise God. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you a million times over. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your loving kindness, your tender mercies. Father, we thank you for your word also, which goes forth and it's designed to transform our souls. We pray your blessing on it. We pray your blessing on the seed that has gone forth. Father, that it would be sealed by your Holy Spirit right now. Holy Spirit, that not one part of it is lost, but it's sealed in that it brings forth fruit. 100-fold fruit. Yes, let that seed take root and bring forth fruit in the name of Jesus. I pray your blessing, Father, on everyone in here. And as they go forth this week, Lord, that your hand of grace and blessing would be upon them, Lord, in every area of their life, especially the particular needs that they have that may even be on their minds right now. I pray that you would touch that right now, Father, and bring the breakthrough that they desire in their life in the name of Jesus. Blessed be your name, Lord. Amen. If there's